prayers this morning. My thought this morning is don't forget God. We may not consider that a whole lot sometimes in our lives. We may think, well, what do you mean? Don't forget God. But there's a reason why I want us to consider that this morning. I want to start off with a verse in Psalms 106 and 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And it may seem strange to say my thoughts don't forget God, but then turn around and read a verse that has nothing to do with forgetting him. But I have a purpose for that. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So how long does his mercy endure? Forever. When is he going to forget his mercy? Never. Why did his son come down to earth? Because his mercy was planned from the beginning, before the planet was ever made. Before the solar systems was formed, God had a plan and it included his mercy. And throughout his whole plan, he's never forgot that. He stayed true to what he's wanted us to do, what he said he would do for us, and he continues to be that way. So now I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And starting, looking at verse 9. So Deuteronomy 4 and 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. One of the things that I've noticed here, I did some studying on the word forget. The word forget in the English version, King James Version, it's in the Bible 51 times. It's in Deuteronomy 9 times, specifically. And every time in Deuteronomy that the word forget is mentioned, it's in relationship to man forgetting God. Either forgetting the Lord, believe it or not, it's men do forget the Lord, forgetting his covenants, forgetting God's works, or often forgetting how we have provoked and crossed him in our past. We get forgetful of these things. If you look at all 51 verses in the Bible that are related to forget, to the word forget, only 14, give or take, are not directed at that type of subject. So most of the verses regarding forgetting in the Bible is men forgetting God, men forgetting God's covenant, men forgetting what God has done for them, and men forgetting what we've done that crossed him. Part of the reason why I wanted to jump to that verse is now I want us to go back to Psalms 106. And we're going to do a little bit of reading here. So back to Psalms 106. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can shew forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. And then notice here in verse 6, we have a remembrance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, and they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They provoked him at the Red Sea. How did they provoke God at the Red Sea? God had just done a whole lot of miracles, if you will, had put the plagues on Egypt, had caused the Egyptians to send the people forth without fighting, had allowed them to have favor with the Egyptians to where they were able to borrow gold and silver and basically spoil the Egyptians as they left. So they left, they get out to the Red Sea, and then the Red Sea is between them, and now the enemy's coming after them. And so how did the people provoke the Lord? He brought us out here. The Egyptians are going to catch us. We're going to die. How far back had the plagues of Egypt been? At most, what, a couple of weeks? From the start to the finish? And yet they had apparently already forgot the God they were serving. They forgot His wonderful mercies, what He was doing. Continuing there in verse 8, nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so that He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they His events, and they sang His praise. So now, once again, we have a wonderful working of God, and the people are back on track. Oh, I remember. That's the God. Yep. But verse 13. They soon forget His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. We can forget God. When do we normally forget God? Have you ever noticed, if you read in the Bible, do we tend to forget God in the hard times? No, generally that's when we're trying to get the closest. Lord, it's tough, it's dark, it's gloomy, the enemy's all around. We tend to forget God when it's going well. And then we get to complaining, we get to murmuring, it's not just what we want. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abram. And a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Now why would they make a calf if they were remembering their Lord? Have you ever thought when it says, don't forget the Lord, that we can allow things to replace the Lord? We can allow things to become, I'm going to say, the Lord to us? The golden calf that was raised up, what was said about that calf? This golden calf is the God that led you out of Egypt. So people can say, well, we really didn't forget the Lord. Yes, you did. That golden calf didn't even exist when you left Egypt. It was just made. How quickly can we forget the Lord? Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot their God Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore He said that would destroy them, that He would destroy them, had not Moses His chosen stood before Him in the breach to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not His word, but murmured in their hearts, in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore He lifted up His hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. Why did they struggle here? They had been in the wilderness. They had traveled. They had got up to the border to go into the promised land. And God said, okay, it's time to go. They sent spies. The spies discovered what? There's an enemy in the land. There's giants over there. This is not going to be just an easy battle. You're not just going to waltz in and be done with it. Instead, what are you faced with? Dare I say you're faced with your worst fears? You're faced with the thing you dread the most? The thing you feel like is unconquerable? And so what did they do? Well, we're not going to cross. We're not going to go there. And the Lord said, okay, you won't cross. I'm going to send you back out and I'm going to destroy you. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. How far have the people gone in forgetting the Lord now? They've joined themselves, so the golden calf has been destroyed. And now they're joining themselves to Baal Peor, and they're eating sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. You realize here, even Moses fell victim to forgetting the Lord because of this. Moses himself was tried to the point that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their ways, and served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. This is the people God had pulled out of Egypt. This is the people that the Lord had said, I'm going to lead you forth with mighty acts. They didn't have to do any fighting to leave Egypt. All they had to do was follow the Lord. And he said, if you will remember me, if you will obey my covenant, if you will make the choice, you know, there's I'm not going to turn to the verse, but there's the choice that was given them. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing and a curse. If you choose a blessing, it'll go well. If you're not, you're going to face this stuff. Did they remember? Did they remember the covenant that God had for them? Did they remember what the Lord had wanted them to do? The statutes he'd given them? The Ten Commandments? They forgot. And now here they are sacrificing their sons and their daughters, worshiping other idols, blatantly disobeying God. I would challenge all of us in our lives, where do we stand when it comes to remembering God? Do we truly remember God as God? As the God that led us out of sin in our lives? As the God that helped us get out of Egypt? What did we do to get out of sin? What did any one of us do to save ourselves from sin? Nothing. We cannot. The only thing we could do was accept the sacrifice that had been paid and say, okay. And the Lord said, all right, now that you've accepted that, I'm going to lead you out. I'm going to make my strong arm and I'm bringing you out. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to guide you. Do we remember that? Or do we start sometimes getting to looking back and looking at what we did or what we're doing? Or even sometimes looking back at the things we enjoyed back there? The garlics, the melons, the onions, the leeks, as it were, for the Israelites. The good food. You know there is pleasant things in the Lord. But there's pleasant things in the world. There is. Which one do we lean into? Which one do we look forward to the most? Verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the brethren, of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought unto subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. What do we have here? What had God forgot? Had God forgot anything? Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant. You know, the Lord didn't forget. The Lord said, I see everything you've done, but I'm still going to hear your cry. I'm still going to open my ears your direction, because I've made a covenant. And he repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Had he forgot who he was? Had he forgot what he would do for people? Verse 47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. We see here in this chapter 106 a sad plight of a people chosen of God. A people God had called out to be separate, starting with Abraham. He had told Abraham, I want you to separate yourself from the land of your fathers, from their idol worship, and I want you to follow me. And yet, the people had forgot God. Not immediately, but slowly. Little by little, if you read it, it starts off just questioning, well, God did that, but I'm not sure if God will do it again. If, you know, the he saved us here, but I'm facing another battle. Will God do it again? Sometimes God lets us fight, sometimes he doesn't. If you read the Old Testament and you're remembering the stories, sometimes God sent them into battle and they did all the fighting and they got the victory. Sometimes he sent them into battle and they didn't win. But he had told them to go. What about those times? What about the times where they went back, Lord, we didn't win. Should we go up and fight the next day? Sure, go fight the next day. They didn't win the next day. Well, so now the third day, what do? Go up and fight, because today you're going to win. What if they had forgot God after the first or second battle and just made their assumption, okay, Lord, you're not here. Or maybe I don't know you, didn't hear you, because surely you wouldn't tell me to go up and do battle and then not let me lose, would you? Would he? Will God send us into battle and let us lose? The Apostle Paul preached all over what back in his day would be considered the known world. If you read the last part of his travels, what allowed him to do those travels? He was a prisoner. And he was being taken to different places as a prisoner. Doesn't sound very victorious. I'm going to go preach the power of God in Rome in front of the emperor himself. If I say it that way, you'd almost expect Paul to be marching into town with his little Christian banner and a band of folks with him. We've come to show you the power of the Lord. Instead, he came into town surrounded by soldiers, potentially bound with a court date, like a criminal. That's the way the Lord wanted it done, folks. But did God forsake him? Do you realize if you look at the spread of Christianity, a lot of it can be tied back to a lot of his work from when he was a prisoner? Think of Joseph. Joseph had a dream, didn't he, when he was a young man. Felt like the Lord had showed him that he was going to be a ruler. And we all know the story of Joseph's life. He went further and further away from being a ruler. Had God forgot him? To a man, it might feel like, you know what? Maybe my father and brothers were right. Maybe that dream wasn't for me. Maybe that dream was just something that, you know, some of my imagination. Maybe it wasn't really God. Joseph, however, held on. He's like, Lord, I'm pretty certain that was you. And I'm going to hold on. And I'm still struck by the change. He goes from being a prisoner, a slave that's a prisoner in a foreign land, to by that afternoon, he's second in command of the kingdom, only answerable to Pharaoh. Now, the timing of that, many years. Probably close to 16 years or so from the time he started moving out into slavery before he was raised up. And during that time, that 16 years, it would seem like he's moving further and further and further away from where the Lord told him he would be. But did God forget his promise? No. All Joseph had to do was not forget the Lord. Lord, you're my God. You're my king. You're the one in charge of me. I can't see the end, but I know who you are. I know the strength you have. And the one thing that impressed me with Joseph's story, everywhere he went, he was put in charge. Did y'all ever pick up on that in his stories? As a slave, he did his job so well, he was put in charge. Now, that's almost antithetical. The owner of the house didn't look to anything. If Joseph was in charge of it, it was good. Put in prison. Next thing you know, he's, dare I say, literally running the prison. You know, the Lord was showing Joseph that I am preparing you for leadership. I am preparing you for that day when I'm going to move you out into a good place. I haven't forgot you. Do you know what we can tend to do sometimes? We can tend to get hung up in the fact, well, I may be in charge of some folks, but I'm a prisoner. I'm not really free. I would ask all of us, when it comes to our lives, are any of us really free to just do what we want with our lives? We may have the capability to do what we want with our lives, but we're not free. We're going to answer to God. That's been decreed from before time began. God will have his say in everything we do. He was training Joseph how to be a leader, yet submit to the authority that was over him. A long, hard lesson, but one that at the end helped Joseph to be second in command, rule wisely, but still show the proper respect to the authority that was over him. To the point that while he was alive, everybody had respect for him and for his people. I would challenge all of us as we go through our lives. Be careful. You're going to have your ups and your downs, your good days and your bad days. You're going to see God work in your life, and you're going to be on a high. You're going to have your Red Sea moments. You're going to see the waters open, and you're going to go through, and you're going to be like, Lord, this is so wonderful. I'm going to live for you forever. And then you're going to find on the other side of that, you might find yourself in the wilderness. And it's starting to get kind of dry. And you're not feeling a whole lot there. You're not feeling very much food. You pray. And you get a little bit of manna. What is this? It's something. We eat it, but it tastes the same day in, day out. And so we get to thinking back. And we start forgetting God. We start desiring things that we probably shouldn't. If we will stay focused on God and where he's taking us, God is intending to take us to a good place. He's going to take us into the promised land, a land of rest, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land with water, that if we can drink of it, we will never thirst again. But to get there, we have to remember we can't forget God and what He's asked us to do to be able to make it there. Y'all pray for me.